Please rise. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Our text this evening is the passage from 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and we'll read tonight verses 23 through 26. This is the word of the Lord. For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me. For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." This is the word of our Lord. Please be seated. My dearest brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, it's Passover night, the night before the day the children of Israel walked through blood-stained doorways into freedom, into a life as God's chosen people. It's the Paschal night, the night of the remembrance. A meal is served of unleavened bread, bitter herbs, roasted lamb. The lamb's blood is painted on the doorpost and the lintel. It's the night of judgment and death. God must be appeased by blood. Under the blood of the lamb, Israel is safe. Death will pass over them. Without the blood, there is certain death. It's not safe, dear friend, nor is it beneficial to deal with God apart from the blood of the Lamb. It's a night of remembrance. Yahweh said to Moses, and Moses said to the people, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, as a statute forever, you shall keep it as a feast." In this meal, Israel is to remember the Lord and his saving work. And the Lord remembers his Israel. They ate in unity, a holy communion of a holy community. Now, dearly beloved, we come forward through the centuries, and we come to an upper room in Jerusalem. There in that upper room, there are 12 men. They are at table with their rabbi, with their teacher, with their Lord. It's the Lord's Passover. At his table, Jesus gives to his disciples in two ways. The first way, he gives to them an example of humble service. He washes their feet. The Lord and Creator of all stoops down to do the work of the lowest slave. The Master becomes the slave to his people. He came not to be served, but to serve and to lay down his life as a ransom for the many. "You shall never wash my feet," Peter refuses. You see, Peter is too proud. He's too proud to have the Lord wash his feet to serve him. Pride gets in the way of Peter. It gets in the way of our being served also. Old Adam is too proud, dearly beloved. We do not like being given to. We do not like losing control. We do not like being dependent. It's true, a doctor makes a horrible patient. A pastor and seminarians have great difficulty hearing other people's sermons. We are all reluctant receivers. But Jesus, ever patient, ever lowly, always merciful, gently insist, if I do not wash you, you have no share with me. Peter must learn to receive in service. We also must learn to receive the Lord's service this evening. And whenever the Lord is present to serve us. He must give you faith, dear one. He must wash you before you can serve others. In the washing of the disciples' feet, Jesus gives them a pattern for service. Remember what Jesus said in the Gospel according to St. John? In the 13th chapter, he says, that you also should do as I have done to you. This is what it means to live under Him in His kingdom and to serve Him. Our King bows. He bows before His disciples and He washes their feet. So it is also with you and with me, His fellow servants. Jesus also says in the same chapter of St. John, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. So we see the first service is service to the disciples and his service to you this evening. Secondly, Jesus gives in a very important way. He sacrifices. He takes the bread of the Passover meal, the hard unleavened bread, this bread of affliction that the Israelites are to remember, that bread that they ate on that fateful night of their freedom. Jesus gives thanks, and he breaks that hard unleavened bread, and he gives the morsels to his disciples. These morsels grant to them an admittance and acceptance. For Jesus says, this is my body, which is given for you. His words tell us that that which we could not know for ourselves. You see, science cannot understand this. Fickle human reason cannot understand this. This bread is the sacrificial body of our Lord. And what he says is what it is. It's the very same body that would soon be sacrificed. Sacrificed into death for you, for the 11 now in the upper room, and for me here at Golgotha. You see, dear ones, bread finds its highest place and its holiest place in the divine service as Jesus delivers to you and gives you his body, which you take into your body. He truly is the bread of life. He is a living bread that has come down from heaven to feed and to nourish his people. Then Jesus takes the cup. It's the cup of blessing. He lifts it up. He gives thanks. And he gives to each of his disciples to drink. And he says, this is the new covenant in my blood. The blood of the new covenant is given to drink as wine. Here, wine finds its divine purpose, delivering Jesus' blood to his disciples' lips, binding those who drink it, who drink of this cup of the blessing, in the blood of the covenant. And that's what happens when the blood reaches your lips this evening. You join in to this blood covenant that your Lord Jesus has instituted for you. We remember the words of Yahweh from the Old Testament. Again, he says, the life of the flesh is in the blood. You see, blood is life. This blood of the new covenant is the blood that is poured out for you. In your place, for your forgiveness of sins. Where the blood of the Lamb flows, death, tonight passes over you. This, on this table, dear friends, is the food of immortality. Eating and drinking, by eating and drinking, your sins are forgiven. Your faith is strengthened unto life and salvation. Lastly, Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. His heavenly feast is also a banquet of remembrance. Now, in the Greek text, Luke writes, and it may be translated this way, this keep doing for my remembrance. So which is right? Do this in remembrance of me? This keep doing for my remembrance. Might both perhaps be true? As we heard in the text this evening from 1 Corinthians, for as oft as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. To eat the body of Christ and to drink his blood calls into mind that he, all that he is, and all that he has done for you, his incarnation, his life, his death, his resurrection, and his ascension to the right hand of the Father, where there he stands interceding for you and for me. This is how Jesus wishes you to remember him, by receiving the fruits of the cross as your food and as your drink. You see, just as Yahweh remembered his people Israel, Jesus remembers his people, his dear Christians. He remembers you as you receive from him his body to eat and his blood to drink. You are one. You are one body and one blood together with him. And he will never, ever deny his body and blood. This food of remembrance this evening marks you, just as baptism marks you. You are a redeemed child of God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb who has washed away all your sins. You carry these signs, dear ones, for you are Christians. And this is what Christians do. They bear the signs of the one of whom they proclaim, Jesus, who is the Christ. You tonight, as you come to his table, you take your Lord's body and blood into your life and into your death. And he remembers you. Remember his words, never will I leave you. Never will I forsake you. Behold, I am with you always, even unto the end of the age. He is with you always. By giving his body and blood to eat and to drink, it was something that only Jesus could do. He did this for his disciples. He did it for his disciples then and today. He unites them. He unites you with him in his death and in his life. He is the vine, you are the branches. His body and blood, his death and life flowing into you, making you fruitful foot washers. For remember what he says to us. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Dear ones, your Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ, he gives his all to you. He gave his all so that he could save you. Nothing stands outside of his forgiveness. Nothing can separate you from his self-giving, self-sacrificing love. No greater love is there than this servant's love who laid down his life for you. In his supper this evening, here at his table, he lays before you the gifts of his cross. Gifts freely given from him. Do this for my remembrance. Do this in remembrance of me. Therefore, tonight as you eat and drink. You arise refreshed, renewed, and restored in faith toward Him and in fervent love towards one another. That's what happens here tonight. Faith, trust in Christ alone. Bends down in service to the neighbor, both friend and stranger. Faith receives from Jesus and the service that He has done for you. Love seeks to serve Him in the least and in the lost and in the lowly of this world. Faith receives the washing of sin. Love washes the feet of a fellow sinner. Faith remembers His love, and love always remembers His service to all of you. So, it's Passover night. It's Passover night, so come. Come and eat. It's Passover night, so come. Come and drink. Receive your Passover lamb for the forgiveness of all your sins. Thanks be to Jesus. Please rise for prayer. And let us pray. For your becoming the servant of all, for your washing the disciples' feet, for the gift of your body and blood, for our remembrance of you and your remembrance of us, we give you thanks and praise, most holy Jesus. Amen.